is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
New York State, the governor, Governor Hochul, making an announcement about a possible change in the weather with regard to the pandemic. I welcome Harry Siegel, a columnist at the New York Daily News and a senior editor at The City, a nonprofit newsroom covering New York, to comment on the pandemic hasn't left us. Harry, anecdotes, that's all I have. Coast to coast is not the, is the least of it. Around the world, from Australia to London, certainly to Scotland, but then into northern Italy, to Milano, well-vaccinated people who are frozen in time because of the Omicron subvariant, probably BA5, there's no determining. And it seems so commonplace now, my guests are almost apologetic, but then again, I think, what's going on? Governor Hochul is measuring what's going on. What is your experience in Brooklyn and moving around in New York? Is the Omicron BA5 rising? Are you hearing stories from younger people, Harry, because you're a younger person, and that this is a growing a challenge for the municipality of New York and for the state? Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, John. So the numbers are pretty clear. The infection rate is way up. The hospitals are not overloaded at this point. Governor Hochul has not had a briefing about the virus in months. Clearly, for political and practical reasons, is not interested in creating any new restrictions. She said she'd keep the masking requirement on the trains, but absolutely nobody's enforcing that, and maybe 55% of New Yorkers are adhering to it. And a big part of her reason for pointing to these rising numbers and concerns is to make the case for keeping the emergency powers that she's maintained, that started with her predecessor, Governor Cuomo, and earlier in the pandemic, that allow her to issue mandates and to spend money without needing to run it by the legislature. So it's also, of course, a way that she can say, I have warned you, I've given information, and, you know, I'm preparing to do things. So if things do go in the wrong direction, she doesn't look like she'd been just entirely neglecting that. But the political class, like so many New Yorkers, for the most part, wants to move on, even as the virus lingers and spreads and mutates, and say this simply isn't something we're discussing anymore, especially because the city and the state have had a brutal recovery from the shutdown we had, from the closure of schools and then in-person schools and those other parts, and has expended most of the credibility and authority that they had to start with. So if you're an executive, you want to signify, I am on top of things, I'm ready for whatever happens, you want to talk about what you're doing with monkeypox, where the state at all levels, starting with the federal government again, has not covered itself with glory, in this case, with a known long-existing disease, with a known long-existing vaccine. But you know, a lot of this is rhetoric, and some of it really does have to do with wanting to keep the quote-unquote emergency powers that give her some exceptional authority.
I note that Omicron BA5 is a story that is, as so far, not fully told. We do not have the work that Science Magazine and Nature Magazine routinely publish on Alpha of 2020 or Delta of 2021. There is indication that it is not stopped by the very good vaccines that are available. There is indication that Paxlovid mitigates the symptoms early on. We note that the president, for example, is reported now to be positive and is taking Paxlovid. We can only guess it's Omicron BA5. So on one hand, it is not deadly. On the other hand, it is debilitating, and there's no generality that works. So the governor is noting it as we approach the school year. Another story that is important now, it's growing, and it's not threatening, but it's deeply ironic, is marijuana. Harry writes in his New York Daily News column about a man now in his 70s, which I consider to be quite young. His name is Steve. He works on Long Island as a personal trainer. But in his youth, he was, well, the affectionate word was pothead, but he bought and sold marijuana and he paid for his activities. Is that right, Harry? He paid for it.
He was a grower, a seller, and a smuggler. He was and is, as a personal trainer in his 70s, he's in great shape, a daily user of this product who first got into shape when he's in his first of what turned out to be several prison bids for his marijuana sales. So he seemed like an interesting person to talk with, as New York has legalized the stuff, but is just now getting licenses to sellers, with the first ones going to people who were, or direct family members who were victims of the legal prohibition on selling the rest of it marijuana. And this is a pretty small select group, also have significant experience running a business in New York and are willing to fill out maybe 60 forms of intentionally exhaustive and detailed paperwork in Midtown, where the city's offices are. So I'm walking around this all day. You have all these people on stands, you know, under tents just around the streets. 3 out of 4 tents are COVID tests because the federal government put so much money into that and it covers the whole bill. So it's free to you, or the insurer does. So not that many people are using them, but that's one weird hustle. And then lots and lots of other people just selling weed. Openly, just there, and you can see it, and you can buy a pre-roll, whatever else you'd like. It's an interesting scene at the moment, and I do wonder what happens to those people and whether there will be any enforcement, which there's not now, once you have these licensed sellers who obviously are not going to want that much competition. Although, of course, we know from other states that once you create a legal marketplace, the illegal one does not shrink so much. The revenue always comes in way below projections. You have lots of entrepreneurs who've already been in this business who are like, I prefer not to do a ton of paperwork and give up 40% of my profits. Thank you very much.
It reminds me, Harry, about in the 20th century, the argument that happened in Manhattan about street sellers with carts in front of high-end, expensive storefronts, and the battle over licenses, and the police were then obliged, drafted into clearing these carts, which would then race around the corner and do a circle and come back to where they started. So the way you just describe marijuana, I can picture that is where we're going. We'll have legal sellers, storefronts with elaborate presentations, and then we'll have carts. Will we even have carts? Somebody could do this out of his pocket, I guess, wandering around the Manhattan.
And that seems much simpler, and like then there's nothing for, if the authorities do want to get involved, for them to take away the same way. You're not risking your van or your store or whatever else. Of course, we have the same dynamic more or less with the lotto and numbers, which New York has had for many decades now, hilariously, despite a state constitution that prohibits gambling. So, you have things that exist underground and overground at the same time. When you realize the market is big enough, at some point the state needs money and it wants to get its cut.
And Steve's assumption is that there are billionaires on the way. Is that right, Harry? We have 30 seconds. Big money coming.
Oh, always. And he says, you know, look, jump in right now if you can. Get your money before the big money comes in and shoves you out. Remember, it's all about customer service. Give the people what they want.
Harry Siegel, who is a senior editor at The City, which is a nonprofit newsroom covering New York, and soon enough to cover the marijuana contest of New York. He also is a columnist at the New York Daily News. Omicron BA5 is a threat, especially to us seniors. I underline, masking and distancing is still wisdom. I'm John Batchelor.